Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Boldly Pursuing podcast. I am your host, Caitlin Henderson. Here we have conversations with friends who are stepping out and doing what God has called them to do in order to help encourage you to do the very same thing. On today's podcast, we have my friend Katie Ferris. We talk about her new book titled, He Will Be Enough. And we have such a good conversation about how sometimes we struggle to share our stories and share what God is doing if the story isn't over and it didn't end up with this neat little bow wrapped around it, but how needed it is that we are willing to share the middle of our stories also, and how God just walks through us on our hardest days. And I think this is going to be such an encouraging conversation if you are walking through a difficult season, or if someone you love is walking through a difficult season. This is just going to be such an encouragement to your heart, I think. So here is my conversation with Katie. Hello, Katie. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks so much, Caitlin. It's a joy to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited for this conversation today. To get us started, for those that might not know you yet, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit for us?
Sure. I'm Katie Ferris, and I live with my family in New Jersey, where we love day trips to the Jersey Shore. I'm married to Scott, who is a staff pastor at our church. And then we have 5 children. Our youngest is 5 and our oldest is 16. Everyone else is in between there. And I guess just birth order, we have 3 boys and then 2 girls.
Fun. Our youngest is also 5. And I feel like, you know what? Actually, you are like the 3rd or 4th person that I've interviewed this season that our youngest child is 5. And everyone's had the same consensus. There's such a weird feeling when your baby hits that age. Like I've had this conversation of, I don't really feel like I can say I'm a mom of littles anymore. It's like, I'm a mom of like middles. Like our oldest turns 10 tomorrow. And I'm like, wait a minute. There is no way I've been a mom for a decade. But like, there's that weird like transition age where it's like, why don't I have babies anymore? Cause my youngest is 5, but I, you know, it's just like it's a weird mindset to be in, I guess.
I totally agree. I know I listened to her talk and I just kind of listen with this awe and wonder because I still see her as a baby, but I'm realizing that she's thinking like a 5-year-old.
And yes.
It's just like I'm seeing the transition happen in front of my eyes, but I'm not ready for it.
No. And so our youngest, she's our only girl. She started speech therapy a few months ago because she sucked her thumb forever. We are still, I have to go pull her thumb out of her mouth when she's asleep. I think that's like my roughest part of parenting right now is getting her to stop sucking her thumb altogether. But she just has this cute little lisp. And so she's in speech therapy because, you know, logically she should start talking more clearly. But part of me is like, but I love the little lisp. Like, I'm kind of sad that we're getting rid of it.
Do lots of recordings now.
So yeah.
That you can go back and replay them.
Yeah. I'm like, I know this is good for her. And, you know, I'm like, but that it's just cute really is what it is for me. So I'm like, this is good, but it's a sign she's growing up. And yeah. All right. Well, Katie, tell us, you have a new book. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. I have a new book. It's called He Will Be Enough. And the subtitle is How God Takes You by the Hand Through Your Hardest Days. And our family went through some pretty hard days. And I actually tell in the introduction that, you know, we actually still live in the middle of our story. So we're not at the end of it yet. But when 3 of my kids were diagnosed with a serious genetic condition, it just brought waves of grief into our home. And along with the grief came a lot of questions. Is God really who he says he is? Is he going to see us through this? And, you know, we're not on the other side because this is something that, you know, my kids live with, but we've walked through it long enough to have experienced his great faithfulness along the way. So that's where, you know, my story intersects with the title. But my hope is that as other people read this story, that it will help, or not just the story, the book, that it will help grow and build their confidence that God will be faithful for them as well, whatever hard thing they might be walking through.
Yeah, I knew that I was going to love this book when I underlined the entire first paragraph of the introduction. I didn't even make it. I mean, people listening can't see this, but the introduction, I underlined the whole first paragraph because I'll read a couple of the sentences where you start. You say, I love to tell a story once it's finished. I usually don't mind sharing my struggle if I can also tell how it resolved, how I'm better and everything's fixed and right again in my little corner of the universe. And I was like, oh, same. I was like, oh, yes. Like, which I think, especially for authors or story, like we're storytellers, right? And not even just authors, but it's so satisfying when you can wrap a story with a neat bow at the end and then you share it and you're like, and see how God worked everything out.
Yeah.
And when you don't know the end of the story yet, and especially when God puts it on your heart to share that story, even when it's not finished, it feels so risky. And I just thought this, it almost feels like we put this pressure on ourselves to like prove God's good because we don't know the end of the story. So we're like, well, it's risky to tell the middle of the story because what if God doesn't come through? Like this, I'm processing my thoughts in real time here as I'm talking about this, but I related with that so much. So what are your thoughts on that? This sharing of the middle of the story without the tidy bow to wrap it up.
Yes. Yes. It is risky. It is vulnerable. And I will tell you that even, you know, anticipating this book being released and being read by other people, you know, I've gone through all different kinds of emotions along the way. And I still feel like my faith is being tested. You know, just as you said, you know, will God keep showing up here? You know, I've just written this book now that says he will, but,
right.
I'm not an expert here. I need the Lord to bring the same truths that I just wrote about to me in real time today. You know, even though I wrote it, part of why I wrote this, honestly, was for myself and for my family so that we could look back and remember God's faithfulness and not forget how God has already shown up and been good to us. Because I think that that builds confidence when we have those testimonies and those stories in front of us of how God has already been good. I think that builds our confidence that he's going to continue to be good. And when we're in the middle of something hard, that is something that we can hold on to. And each chapter of the book has a different key truth about God. You know, God is a comforter. God sets limits to our trials. I'm like blinking out. I should have the book in front of me as I'm talking. Like, I just wrote it.
Oh, that's funny.
These are things I need to remember too.
Oh, yeah. We're all learning. We are all remembering them.
But every chapter has a truth about God, and it has a key verse that unpacks that truth. And these are truths that I want to return to as well as our family lives out this story in the years to come. So part of my children's condition is that it can be progressive. And so, you know, there was that moment of truth when our world turned upside down, when we found out about this, but there's this unknowing how it will play out. And so I want those anchors for my soul, whatever comes. Definitely the middle of the story.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, as I've seen other people share the middle of their stories, from the outside looking in, it looks like big faith. Like I admire them. I admire when people are able to do that. But then when you flip it around and, you know, you're trying to share the middle of your story, it is hard, but I do think that that helps other people to not have everything always wrapped up in a tidy bow, because I think everyone is going to always be living in the middle of some sort of story in their life. So maybe that's helpful to other people to see someone openly walking through the middle of a story. But I love what you were saying in here. You know, so many times I think we encounter something really hard or a season of grief and think, is Jesus going to be enough right now? So what was your experience with getting this diagnosis for not just one of your children? It started with one and then you found out three out of the four, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. We actually have the fifth child now. So okay. That's another story. Yeah. But yeah, at the time it was three of four.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how, I guess, did you struggle with that? Did you have the thoughts of, is Jesus going to be enough now? And how did you work through that?
It's a great question. I honestly don't know that I had the words to even put that into a question mm-hmm. at the time. But yes, I think that was what I was feeling. Is he going to be enough? Is, you know, two things that matter most to me really were on the table in that moment. My family, who I love, and my faith. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a lot of times when we are faced with a trial, you know, it's an opportunity to either grow closer to the Lord and press in, draw near to him in a trial, or it can be a time where we run away. We're like, you know, if God is really good, how could he allow something like this? Mm-hmm. And we can go the opposite direction. So I think trials, you know, it talks in the Bible about how they test and refine our faith. And so I think I was in that place asking, maybe not with words, but I think that was, you know, what was going on inside of me. Will he be enough for this? And I think I was also asking questions about myself. You know, will I make it through this? How am I going to mom through this? This isn't what I saw for motherhood.
Yeah. I mean, when something big like that shakes you, it's just, well, like you said, I mean, we've been through situations where you don't have the words, but I think later, once you kind of like process and once the shock wears off, that feeling kind of sinks in. So what would your encouragement be to someone who is still in that phase of maybe they are questioning, maybe they are thinking about walking away from their faith and their despair? What would your encouragement be to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, my encouragement would be draw near to the Lord. I think if we're honest, many of us have been in this place. And to the listener who feels this way, I would say pour out your heart to him. He can take your questions. He's big enough. He's strong enough. You can bring them on. He can handle it. I would just say, just go to him. Don't turn away. Let him lead you through this time and you will experience his faithfulness. You'll get to know him better. I think these trials can actually be an opportunity to know the Lord in ways we've never known him before. And for us to learn what it means that his grace is sufficient and that his power really is made perfect in our weakness. But yes, I would say draw near.
I love that you, in the book, you talk a lot about like finding his grace in the little things and in the everyday. And I think sometimes, you know, it's really hard to see where God is gracious when we are in the middle of a season of suffering or grief. But I had goosebumps as I was reading the story about Kathy in the play date. Would you tell that story? Because I was like, okay, like that is the perfect example.
I would love to. Yes. And, you know, I have another friend who's, you know, walks through some really hard things. And, you know, she has reminded me that sometimes we really just want to be delivered from the trial. We want to be delivered from the situation. And yet so often what God does for us is sustain us in it. And I think that's where, you know, sometimes we're looking for something big. We're looking for the escape. We're looking for, you know, we're just going to break out of this. Mm-hmm. And yet God has grace for us in the middle of it. And so I think part of it is just learning to see that along the way. So, you know, yeah, my story of my friend Kathy is definitely an example of that. So like you already said, you know, initially one of my children was diagnosed and the way that came about, he had gotten really sick as a 2.5-year-old. And when his liver numbers didn't resolve, then we had to just continue with additional testing. And so I was, you know, waiting for the doctor's phone call to know what those results were. And I remember the afternoon that I got the call, and I first heard the name of this potential probable diagnosis. And I remember I was still rolling around on my tongue, you know, trying to figure out how to say it, how to spell it, so I could tell my husband later. This was 2013. So, you know, it was early on, but I didn't even have time to Google it before we had a play date scheduled. And my friend Kathy and I had only recently reconnected. You know, I'd known of her, but I hadn't known her full story. And I didn't really have time to even figure out this diagnosis before she was knocking on the door with her kids. And they came in and they started, you know, the kids were playing and Kathy and I were sitting on this big stuffed red couch in my tiny crammed living room at the time. And I just remember, you know, I felt safe with my friend and I just felt like it would be right to share in the middle of the story. You know, mm-hmm. I just got this diagnosis and, you know, we've got the tears going and I'm sharing with her right in the middle of it. And she just listens to me. And when I'm done talking, she says, "That's what my son has." And, you know, behind that, you know, what I think is really amazing is I had known her son had had a liver condition as a child, but I hadn't known her at the time. So I didn't know all the details surrounding that situation. But fast forward, in that time, since her son, you know, had his challenges as like in his first year of life, up to, I think he was around 7 at the time that she came over. In those 7 years, she had never face-to-face met another person whose child had this diagnosis. It was just so uncommon. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to have her sitting across the couch and say that to me, one, for her to meet somebody in her circle that, you know, even knew what her son had. But then for me, on day one of that diagnosis, to have the Lord time perfectly this friend in my life, already in my living room, and not just any friend, but she was a believer. So she could pray with me. She could offer me Christ comfort out of how the Lord had already comforted her over the past several years. And then this friend too is like, I don't know, she had binders full of research about this. So, you know, I had somebody I could go to with questions. You know, she had kept her son's lab results. Like, here was a resource. So I just saw her as a means of God's grace. No, like, he didn't deliver my child from this affliction, but right in the middle of it, he made it so clear that he was looking out for us and that he had his eye on us in the middle of this. So I couldn't question his care or his love, even in something really hard.
Yeah. And I think all of us walking through seasons like that, or, mm-hmm. you know, no matter what the hard season is, I think one, it's easy to overlook those moments where God shows up with his graciousness, because sometimes we do get so focused on, we want the big miracle, we want out of the season, we want out of the hardship, that I think it's easy to overlook that. But I think when we do start looking for those little moments, they're everywhere. Like, and then those little moments just add up over and over, and you just see how present he really is. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, what do you have, I guess, advice or encouragement to someone on how they can start looking for those little gracious gifts from God, if maybe they have just been so used to overlooking them?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question.
That's a hard question. I just really threw that at you.
It is a hard question.
Actually, answer that for me, please.
Well, I can give you two thoughts that come to mind. Okay. So I'm sure there are many directions we could go with that. And I will probably think of something an hour from now. And then when I'm trying to fall asleep tonight, I'll say,
you can call me. Said.
But the two thoughts that come to mind, one would be, you know, maybe just going back to that idea of drawing near. So maybe just asking God to open our eyes to see them. So to start by, you know, we are not going to see them on our own, but asking Him to open our eyes throughout the day. And I think if we're already posturing ourselves in conversation with the Lord, we're going to be looking for them in a different way. Mm-hmm. So that's one thought. And then the other, you know, honestly, in those first months following my kid's diagnosis, we weren't even able to go to church every Sunday because we needed to do, you know, we all know what quarantine is now, but we had to do like our own version during the time while my son was healing from his illness. So there was some isolation, you know, I wasn't necessarily hearing the sermons or the messages all the time. And then, you know, even once we started, you know, returning to community and our more everyday life as much as possible, we were adding in so many specialist appointments and so much. So our calendar was so full. It wasn't like there was time for me to read a stack of books or listen to, you know, lots of information. But one of the things that I did continue doing was just time with the Lord, whether it was just a few minutes of reading, but just being in His Word. And I had a really a devotional that had just like really short devotions on suffering. And that was really helpful to me. But all that to say, you know, I wasn't spending lots of time journaling or processing what was going on in my life. But I did start a verse, a list of verses that the Lord used to encourage me during that time. So maybe it was a friend texted me something, or maybe it was something I had read in my own reading. But I started this list of verses. And it was a go-to Bible verse list for me. So on my harder days in that season, I could just go back and I could read those verses. And some of those were verses that ended up coming into this book. But I would say, you know, if you're looking for grace, that would be another way. Keep your list of truths as the Lord is bringing them, whether you hear a truth in a Christian song or you're hearing a quote in a book, but especially, you know, Bible verses, I would keep a list, even if you don't have time to do anything else, but keep it and keep it visible, whether it's, you know, in the front of a journal or you're posting them in the kitchen, just because those are means of grace also to encourage and strengthen our souls. So.
Okay, friends, I am sure that by now, probably most of you have heard me talk about my book, Faith, Farming, and Family, that released earlier this year with Waterbrook Publishing. And let me just tell you, releasing a book is one of the hardest yet most rewarding things I've ever done. But the best part has been hearing your stories about what the book has done for you. We have had hundreds of messages pour in saying that the book has changed your life, which, y'all, my mind is just blown at those messages, or how it's caused you to grow in your relationship with God, or changed your marriage, or your parenting, or how you look at hospitality, or so many different things. And I give all the glory to God for that. But I wanted to tell you guys that right now, Amazon has the book on a major sale, like the lowest I've ever seen it, but they're low in stock. So if you have not ordered it yet, now is a great time to do so. We've also been hearing that so many of you are going to be using the book this fall to do Bible studies or book clubs. And I want you to know I purposely wrote the book to be easy to do that. So now is a great time to get stocked up on them. And I also wanted to tell you guys, the question I get asked the most is, I'm not a farmer. Is this book for me? And let me just shout it from the mountaintops. Yes. Yes, friend. Yes. Like, I very specifically wrote this book so that if you are in the middle of New York City, you are going to walk away with just as much as if you're on a farm like me. So all the stories are from our life on the farm. And let me tell you, there are some crazy, there's hilarious stories, and there are some heart-wrenching stories in there. But at the end, it's all down to the lessons within the story, lessons that we can all relate to. So yes, you do not need to be a farmer to walk away getting so much out of this book. But I also just want to tell you guys, thank you. Thank you for your messages of kindness and encouragement and for letting me know how the book has helped you. I truly appreciate every single message, comment, review, order, and share. And it just means so much to me. So you can head over to Amazon and get it on sale, or just click the link in the show notes. And now back to today's episode. Do you have a favorite verse that like really, like you really clung to? you just have a whole list going?
So I do, I started a list during that time, and that was really helpful. But I would say in my life, one of the verses I go back to is Isaiah 41:10, which is, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that promise of God's presence with us, which ultimately is fulfilled in him sending Jesus to be with us. And then Jesus, again, promises that he will be with us always. I think that promise of God's presence with us, whether, you know, we're at the lab while our child's blood is being drawn, or we're in the bedroom at night as the child is crying, or, you know, we find ourselves in any number of other situations, just knowing that God is with me, with us, he's carrying us through.
I'm glad you said a verse, because in my head, I'm thinking, I hope someone listens to this and like God's already shown them the verse that you're going to say. And then they hear it listening to those podcasts. And it's like, I'm like, maybe this will be one of those moments where they're like, oh, there's God's graciousness. So I'm like, I hope so. So going back to talking about, you know, drawing near to God, and I think being honest with God, I love the example, and you talk about this too, of when Jesus was praying and said, like, if you can, take this cup from me, which I think, how did you word it? You talked about, oh, it must not be wrong to ask him to change our circumstances. And we went through a situation a few years ago when our middle son was little, where he was extremely sick, but we never got answers. I mean, we flew all over the country, Mayo Clinic, everything for like 2 years, but we never got answers. And the first like year and a half was, you know, as a mom, you just want to control everything. And when you can't, you feel so helpless. And I feel like I was almost like headbutting with God. And then the beautiful example of Jesus's prayer is that after that, he says, not my will, but yours be done. And I very specifically remember the moment where I laid on my bedroom floor and fully surrendered to God, like my child, and prayed that prayer of, okay, like I'm done, not my will, but yours be done. And I feel like that was the start of everything changing when I started drawing near to God and was able to start seeing him show up in the everyday. And so I just wanted to bring that up, because if someone is listening that's in that situation where they're just like, they feel like they're in a wrestling match with God too, that being able to pray that prayer is really hard, especially when it comes to a sick child. You know, I'm sure you know that, like that's a big deal, but there's something really beautiful in that prayer too. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, it is. There's something beautiful. And you know, we have the example of Christ himself, who's praying that prayer. And so he's modeling that obedience. The Bible also talks about, you know, how he learned obedience through suffering. And, you know, I think there are things that God has for us to learn in that place on the floor of surrender. And you're right. I mean, it's so hard as a mom. I think, you know, we love our kids so much and we're responsible for so much and, you know, we're feeding them, dressing them, doing all these things. But at the end of the day, recognizing ultimately we don't have control, you know, they are gifts and we've never had control. So I think, you know, what you're describing is like a profound moment, but I think there are also real ways that as moms, we're called to do this surrender every day.
I don't even think like sick kid or healthy kid.
Right. Yeah. Right. We send them off to kindergarten. We send them off to college. You know, I think it's just, there's this ongoing surrender of our kids. You know, thank you, Lord, for giving me these children, but Lord, they're yours. Please fulfill your purposes in their lives. And I think another thing that I pray for my kids is, Lord, would you not waste any of this suffering in their lives? Like, I can see how God is using them in my life, but I want them to do the same in theirs. Like, and again, this is where it's the middle of the story. I want to be careful. I don't want to speak for them, but those are my desires as a mom, and those are my prayers for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good point. Wanting it to, I mean, as a mom, when you can see God bring beauty out of something hard that your child's gone through, but then when you can think about their lives too, and their faith, how it's shaping their faith, or what, you know, how God's going to work in them too. That's kind of a really like profound thing to think about. That's a pretty deep, that's a pretty deep subject we could dive into, honestly. So talking about God's faithfulness when it feels too hard, or what about when someone, when they don't have the answers, how do we draw near to Him when it just really feels too hard, when we don't even have the strength to feel like we can do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think even if I've never put it in so many words, this is a situation that I can relate to. And I think if any listeners find themselves in that place, my heart definitely goes out to them, because that's a really hard place to be. But you know, I also think of those who maybe aren't going through something really hard right now. I think there are ways that we can, even in the quote unquote good times of our lives, we can be preparing for those seasons. And one way, I think, is by surrounding ourselves by people who are going to help us move that direction when those hard times come. So I know for me, like going through that season would have been really hard if I were doing it totally alone. And I'm very grateful that my husband, you know, this is really our story, and he's a believer, and he really led me very well through this. But even if someone doesn't have a believing spouse, you know, to have a Christian friend in your life who can pray for you in these times, who can speak the gospel to you, I think is just invaluable. That's a huge gift when it's hard to do this ourselves. And I think also, you know, keep going to church, you know, being with people, you know, I talk about this in the book too, but I mean it metaphorically, but I also mean it literally. I want people who are going to sing God's truth to me in those hard seasons, who are going to sing gospel words to my heart and my soul. So those are a couple of thoughts. I know it is, it's hard, but I think that's part of, there's that temptation. Are we going to draw near? Are we going to draw away? And are we going to move towards people who are going to help us draw near? Or are we going to move towards those things that are going to numb us and distract us and maybe even be outright rebellion? But ultimately, I think at the end of the day, my encouragement too is that even when I'm faithless, God is faithful, and He does not forsake His own. And I love, you know, one of the characteristics of God that I talk about in the book is that God is our keeper. And I unpack that from one of the Psalms, but I love that ultimately God's the one who keeps me. He's the one who holds me fast. And so if we are in Christ, then Christ is in us, and He's not going to deny His own. Even if we start straying, He's going to go after us. And I just am so grateful that it doesn't all depend on me, that I can trust my Savior to keep me as His daughter. So yes. I would offer that same comfort to others.
Yeah, and that He's big enough that when we are in a crumpled heap on the floor, like that's not too much for Him. I'm glad you said that about keep going to church. I mean, there's been two huge instances where I can think of. One of them was when my husband Jake would be on harvest, which means he was gone for like 8 months out of the year. We took our combine on the road. Well, me and the kids were home for a good portion of that, keeping the farm and everything running here. And there was a 6-week span where he had to go to Canada to cut wheat. And me and the kids didn't have our passports. And then we found out his phone wouldn't work in Canada. Like our carrier wouldn't provide that. So he had to go get a track phone, and we're like, it'll be fine. Well, they're out on some random farm in Canada. So we went like 6 weeks. I had all three little kids at home with so little communication. And I remember just like, I just felt like I was drowning it. You know, we went about 4 weeks, and I had hit my limit. And I just remember going to church. We live in a pretty small rural town. So, I mean, like 150 people probably at church. and everyone kind of knows everyone, but I remember just one Sunday, the kids were next to me and I just sat, everyone was standing, singing, and I just sat and just wept. And the people that just came and surrounded me and just prayed over me and loved me, I had thought I didn't want to go to church that day. We almost didn't go to church because I knew I was having one of those days where I was like, listen, if I go to church, I'm just going to cry the whole time. Like, I knew there was no stopping. You have those days where you're like, this is going to be one of those days. And I went anyway, because I was like, no, we need to go. And I needed to get out of the house. And it was just like this beautiful image of what the church is supposed to be. And I think of how valuable it is when we have our church to literally surround us and just love us through these hard seasons. And then going through that on the other side, when you've walked through that and you've seen how your church surrounds you and loves you, then you know better how to walk with someone in their season of that. And so I just think it's this really beautiful image of the church.
Amen.
I mean, it's just, I'm like, you know, it was like,
yeah,
I don't know. We've gotten to church and I've loved our church. But it was in my like darkest hour and one of my hardest seasons where I was like, oh, like this is the church in action. Like this is, you know, and then just recently in the last couple months with everything we've gone through, again, our church just showed up for us. And so many times I've thought, I don't know how we would have gotten through all of this, like without that encouragement and those people loving on us. So I just wanted to throw that in there because I'm like that, you said that. And I'm like, yeah, it's when you're walking through a season like that, your church family, when they can show up and love on you like that is just, it's huge.
And I mean, we both share on social media and I'm grateful for social media as a means of giving and receiving encouragement, but there really is no substitute for people who know you and have walked that with you, who have brought meals to your door.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like someone on Instagram, they're not going to show up on your meal with a door. Well, if they I guess they could. That might be a little creepy. But yeah, I mean, and like you, I'm so grateful. And I've had random strangers on the internet pray for me over an Instagram message. But, I think I've already talked about this on another interview. But, last month when we had Grandpa here on hospice, I had a friend show up and my bed had piles of clean laundry on it. Like, I mean, we had a house full of people for like 2 weeks. And so I had finally washed and dried all my laundry and I just threw it all in a heap on my bed. And she just showed up and folded all my laundry. And I walked into her folding my underwear and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, you don't have to fold my underwear. And she's like, just let me love you. You know, and it's like things like that, that having in-person community is, it's just priceless.
Yeah. I have a few friends who have folded. I don't know if friends have totally folded my laundry for me, but we folded laundry together.
Yeah. Yeah.
They showed up and been like, okay, after we've like hung out three or four times, like I'm ready to ask, like, do you mind just fold laundry while we chat? Here, I'll give you a coffee or something, but we're just going to kind of do this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, amen. Let's normalize folding laundry with our friends. Like, yeah.
Sometimes I hide my husband's underwear, but that's different.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Katie. Well, if there is one thing, one more piece of encouragement that you want someone that reads this book to walk away with, what is it?
Oh, yeah. So I'm definitely hesitating here.
I know. There's so many things you want. I mean, there's a lot of encouragement in this book. I will tell you that this book, I'm not even all the way through it. And it is so full of encouragement. I want you to know that.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I put it in a nutshell, it's like God's real. Mm-hmm. He's real. Mm-hmm. And he loves you and he cares about you. And he hears these prayers, even if you feel like they're fallen, and no one's hearing them. And he loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And we've said it already, but draw near to him in this. Get to know him better in your struggle. And, I'm praying for you. I have a whole group of friends who've been praying since this book started that the Lord would use it to strengthen faith. Whether someone's coming in with no faith in Christ at all, you know, and maybe the trial is, you know, for the first time causing them to look for hope somewhere else and looking to Christ to see if maybe that's the answer, he's the answer. But I really have been praying, and my friends have been praying, that the Lord would meet you in the pages of this book and strengthen your faith for the long haul, you know, for the day to day to the end of the story, whether that's in this life or in heaven to come, that God will meet you and you will know him and know him right in the middle of your mess, right where you are. Yeah.
That was the most beautiful answer. You said you were hesitating, but then you just gave the like most beautiful answer. Oh, okay. Tell everyone, where can they find you online? Where can they get the book? Tell them how to connect with you.
Oh, thank you. So yeah, the best place is just to go to my website. That's Katie Farris, KTIEFARIS.com. And then from there, you can find my Facebook and Instagram and all those other things. And then my book, He Will Be Enough. There are freebies if you want to look around for those. But most of those you can find somewhere on my site as well. There's a free devotional on YouVersion if people use that. I'll put a plug in also. I have another book coming out in January that's specifically for moms. So
okay, awesome.
Keep your eyes open for that. That would be great. That's called God Is Still Good, Gospel, Hope, and Comfort for the Unexpected Sorrows of Motherhood. So it's taking some of these things, you know, that are kind of applied more broadly in He Will Be Enough. And it's specifically walking a mom through something hard with her kids.
Okay. Cannot wait for that. Yay.
Sorry, that was kind of a surprise there.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. Oh, well, Katie, thank you so much for coming on today and just encouraging us and pouring out your wisdom for us.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks so much, Caitlin.
Friends, I hope that you loved this episode of the podcast. If you have been enjoying these episodes, it would be so, so helpful to us if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. This is extremely helpful for new people being able to find the podcast, which allows us to keep producing these episodes that hopefully encourage you and bless you. And I hope that you are truly boldly pursuing where God has called you this week. Until next week, friends. See ya.